You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
In this episode, we're talking about the affordability crisis. We break down why relying on the government or your paycheck is a losing game in the face of $10 butter and $1 million house prices. I'm also going to share a few things you can actually do to escape or at least mitigate the affordability crisis. Whether you're renting, want to buy, or already own and feel stuck, this is your wake-up call. The system won't save you. Very specific actions will. I want to talk strategy before it's too late. Before we dive into the show, I want to just personally invite you to our next Equity Builders Club event in Montreal on August 19th. There are some tickets left if you want to jump over to our website at theequitybuildersclub.com/events. And really, you know, in founding Equity Builders Club, this is one of the things that I realize looking back that is really important is to be able to have these kind of conversations with people who are earlier on their journey or who are maybe beginning to think proactively, like, what can I do? What can you do to protect yourself against the affordability crisis and just what's going on? And to not have this really like super pessimistic, defeatist idea that like, okay, I'm going to just, you know, go out and get my nails done, or I'm going to go and splurge on this quick gratification item because I've lost the big picture fight. And the big picture fight is either to have a business or to have an investment that's going to put you on the side of those whose net wealth is not slowly depreciated because perhaps the only thing that you have is your salary.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey there. Thanks for joining me again for another episode of the Real Escape Investing Podcast. And it's Sunday afternoon at the time of this recording. I am sacrificing the nice weather outside to come and have a conversation with you about something that's going on in which I feel like the frog is in the process of being cooked in the water. I went grocery shopping this morning and, like many other consumers, was shocked by the $8 jam and the $10 butter. And I just really felt like it was time to have an honest conversation about what this really means for us and what you can do, listener, to really hedge your bets and begin to protect yourself from the rising cost of living, which, like, obviously housing is a part of. But if you were to look at the rising costs of all the other things that you're buying, I think you would find a similar trajectory between the cost of housing and the cost of butter, interestingly enough. So before we just listen to a clip that encapsulates some of this stuff, I want to just consider a little bit how it is that we got here, us in Canada. I mean, I think a lot of the rest of the Western world is also suffering from an affordability crisis, but Canada is really kind of at the top of the list where the average Canadian is beginning to really feel the bite of the rising cost of living, so much so that that seems to be the main issue that is kind of before us and at the top of the concerns that Canadians have currently. But I know that whether it's the United States or even in Europe, this is a concern that really exists across a lot of Western democracies. And one of the things that you will notice with this is, how did we end up getting here? And, you know, well, I think that there's a lot of tendency to push this onto what the government may or may not be doing. I think when it comes down to it, we can really track this back to the COVID moment. And what you will realize if you think back is that by shutting everything down and essentially racking up a whole lot of government debt, as well as sending out paychecks for people to stay home and not be working, this is really where this kind of inflationary spiral got kicked off. And what ends up happening when you're living in a time of inflation is that the people who own assets or who own businesses really end up being the ones who see that their wealth is in the process of adjusting itself along with that inflation. So very simply, if you're working for a salary and there is 10% inflation happening in the outside world, there's absolutely no way that whatever company you work for is going to go ahead and adjust your salary for that 10% inflation. And so while the price of butter keeps going up, unfortunately, the amount of money that you get paid every month is not going up. And I think that's where a lot of people, especially salaried employees, which is really probably most of the population and probably you also who is listening to this show, and if that's your situation, I really want to have an honest conversation about what you can do to hedge your bets a little bit and not find yourself so squeezed by what's going on. And maybe just before going any further, I think we should maybe just take a minute to think a little bit about our expectations as citizens of whatever our state may or may not be doing. And I think us as individuals, we will have a certain set of priorities. And then there's this thing that's outside of us, which is the state who's busy collecting taxes, maybe managing monetary policy, maybe doing things like creating shutdowns in the face of a pandemic, and then making sure that, you know, they're able to support people through that. And that really, if you are to compare what your objectives might be as somebody who's trying to make ends meet and go about your business, that the, you know, the state and the government might not have those same objectives and really be behaving in a way that's going to look after you in that particular kind of situation. And I guess this is what I really want to invite you to think about proactively while you're listening to this show, which is instead of, you know, mentally complaining or perhaps verbally complaining about what, Mark Carney or whoever your fearless leader might be is or is not doing in Ottawa or Quebec City or Washington or wherever, maybe to think about how you personally can defend yourself and your family from what's happening. Because if you're relying on the politicians or you're assuming that the government really has objectives that are aligned with yours, you might be not just in for a disappointment, but really in for kind of a nasty surprise if you're expecting that they're really going to be the ones who are going to take care of you, as opposed to, looking here and thinking, what am I doing to own or to be able to generate value in this ecosystem in a way that continues to adjust regardless of what's happening with inflation? So how can I put myself in position to acquire assets that are going to hedge me against that? Or how can I do something to have an income stream that is protected from whatever's going on? And so we'll get into this later in the show. But if you think a little bit about what happens to business owners as inflation takes root, is that, well, we're just able to adjust our prices. And we're able to command the amount of money for our goods and services that the market will bear, but also in terms of what things are actually worth today. And so, like, you know, a lot of supermarkets, as they adjust their prices, the construction firms, whatever kind of services or goods that you're consuming, the value of those goods keeps adjusting itself upwards because the business people who own those businesses have no choice but to raise their prices in order to make ends meet. But what you should hear behind this is it's not a question of them necessarily taking advantage of you. It's more a question of turning the thing the other way and saying, you know, what can I do to learn how to create value in a way that allows me to adjust the price of my service, my good, whatever it is that I'm doing? How can I do that in a way that's going to allow me to continue to support my family and look after my needs, irrespective of the decisions that get made in Ottawa or Washington or Quebec City that are going to create inflation or monetary manipulation or additional taxes or whatever the case may be. Before we get any further, I want to just play this clip for you because I think in listening to it, you're going to see how people get this whole thing kind of mixed up and backwards in their heads.
Andrew Pimentel works 40 to 50 hours a week in this Toronto garage, and he's barely scraping by.
I don't want to be paycheck to paycheck, but I rent, and my rent is $5,000 a month because I have two kids. I need a bigger house, right? My wife has a good job, but we're still penny pinching. It's just too much.
There's one major thing he wants from the next federal government, whoever leads it.
Bring down the cost of living. Bring it right down. Like, it's crazy.
Housing and rent in Toronto are among the most expensive in the country, but people everywhere are struggling.
We can't take vacations. I can't take time off of work just so that I can afford to live.
It's the same with me. I live in a four-person household, including me, and we're all living paycheck to paycheck.
Same in BC.
I'd love to have retired 5-6 years ago, but quite honestly, every time I think about going to retire, everything keeps going up.
And then there's the sticker shock at the checkout.
Groceries, I've probably fallen over looking at steaks and stuff going, don't we have cattle in Alberta and BC? Roast beefs are like, yeah, food is crazy.
The Conservatives and the Liberals are specifically pledging to lower taxes in lower income brackets. Back in his Toronto garage, Andrew Pimentel isn't buying what the parties are selling.
They'll say they'll cut this, cut that, but they'll get it back another way, no matter what. They always do. They promise one thing, oh, here, take this, we'll cut the GST, and then next thing you know, here's a new tax, or, oh, we'll take it from here and so charge you on this.
Affordability, not something this mechanic thinks a tax break alone will fix. Katie Nicholson, CBC News, Toronto.
The first place to start with this clip is to maybe just consider the title, which is Voters Demand Action from the Federal Government on the Rising Cost of Living. And the first thing is that if the federal government are the ones who participated in shutting the country down, you know, years ago, and then creating this whole monetary crisis and really printing money and doing all of this quantitative easing business and then manipulating interest rates to try to control that, which has its own repercussions. My question is that really the door that you want to be knocking on to come to your salvation, to help you find your way out of the affordability crisis? I'm just not sure that to sit in my house in Montreal or in Toronto, as expensive as it might be, and as much as I might be feeling the affordability crisis, I'm not sure that my first reaction would be to assume that someone in Ottawa is going to be the one who's going to save me from this issue. Then the next thing that I want to react to is really, you know, and it's actually kind of heartbreaking when you hear senior citizens who are on a fixed pension income or, you know, wage earners whose salaries are really not adjusting in as a function of the rising cost of living. It's like heartbreaking when you hear about the consequences of some of that stuff. But at the same time, to flip that around and to, you know, wait on the higher ups or the society or the system to cut taxes, you know, and like, this is something interesting that I want to rebound on what the mechanic in the show was saying is, you know, oh, they're going to cut the GST, they're going to do this, but they're going to get it back another way. And I think that, you know, this is really a place where you can sit down and really think about what it means to be a salaried worker, a wage worker in this kind of a system where you are paid in money that can be inflated, or where the cost of the goods around you can adjust at a price increase that is different from the price at which your salaried wage work. And I know it's difficult, obviously, to think about putting money aside to invest in something, whether it's real estate or stocks or equities or something. But the point is that I want you to consider that this is going to be increasingly an existential issue as time goes on. Because as inflation is really eroding the value of money and eroding the value of your paycheck, do you actually really have a choice to sit there and hope that by doing wage work, you're going to be able to keep up, you're going to be able to run fast enough on the hamster wheel that it's going to be able to adjust the value or adjust the lifestyle that you want to have according to that wage work? And I think that that's the pinch that a lot of people are feeling right now, is that if the only way you have to support yourself is salaried work, that that's really a very vulnerable and risky position to be in. And so let's now turn to why investments, and you know, you could talk about all sorts of different things that hold their value in a way that is unlike money in the bank. So if the currency is, you know, inflating at 10% a year, if you have savings and money in the bank, that value is going down with every passing month. Now, if you own real estate, or if you own gold, or if you own, you know, some foreign currencies, if you own a basket of different things, that is a kind of a hedge that acts against that monetary depreciation that might be going on within our Canadian dollar ecosystem. And I think this is like when you compare some of the issues that are facing different countries. Like if you look, I just recently spent some time in France, and you know, the Eurozone is not facing the same kind of inflationary crisis as we are. They do have some inflation. It's somewhat less, and it's somewhat more related for them to the cost of energy. But at the same time, they have much worse, government debt crises. But the answer ends up being somewhat similar. And investments are one answer because they keep their value in the face of the inflation. That's why we're observing property and house prices go up so extremely, in the same way that you're observing the price of butter go up so crazily. The other thing that it's really valuable to understand in the face of this is the fact that the salaried wage employee is the most disadvantaged from a tax perspective. Now, us in Canada, we are perhaps more lucky than some of the European economies who tax investing and business in a very disadvantageous way. We live in a society here that offers all kinds of tax breaks to people who have their own businesses, to the self-employed, or to investors. And I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but I want to just remind you that if you are an employee who makes a decent amount of money, you're paying 50% of income tax, but you're then also paying, you know, whatever, 15% or 12% or 8% of GST on everything that you buy, not to mention property taxes, not to mention all these other places in life where you might be taxed. And so if we go back to the famous $10 cost of butter, as an employee, if you're earning in the higher wage brackets, your cost before tax cost of that butter is actually $20 because the government is taking 50% of your money. Now, if you're a business owner, your business proceeds are only taxed at 22% or less. If you're self-employed, you can deduct a lot of the expenses that you use. So for example, your gas, your cell phone, whatever it is that you need it to continue doing business, your car insurance, a cost of a home office. There's all kind of deductions that you can have before you pay tax. So that's a huge tax shelter. And if you're an investor working in the world of capital gains, every time you buy and sell, well, not when you buy, but when you sell an investment, you're taxed on that capital gain at a 25% rate. So if we get back to the $10 butter, the butter for an investor or for a business owner only actually costs $15 before tax, whereas for an employee, it costs $20 before tax. And so that should be another wake-up call if you look at the way in which you're paid and having a relationship with even, you know, you want to continue working as a salaried worker because you need to continue paying rent, then it might be a question of considering what kind of side hustles you can come up with or whatever small investments you can start to make that are going to not just hedge against that inflationary pressure from the point of view of your savings, from the point of view of how you're paid. So as a business owner, I'll just remind you that you can readjust your prices in a way that you're not able to do if you try the exercise of going into work tomorrow and demanding that your boss adjust your salary for the price increases of a pound of butter. I don't think you're going to get very far. But conversely, as a business owner, you have the possibility of doing that. And then if you own investments, those investments as assets that hold value are going to adjust themselves. So you, for example, you know, as a real estate investor myself, like I observe my assets adjusting themselves, adjusting their own value, while I basically don't have anything to do with that. I don't have to go and ask my boss for a raise. I don't have to take any proactive steps. Those investments just readjust themselves according to the value of everything else. And so this is going to, I predict, become an increasingly existential issue for you. And in terms of thinking of how you're going to survive this affordability crisis, it's going to become increasingly important to focus on how can I begin to have a business activity? How can I change the way in which I'm paid? Or how can I acquire investments, however small, that are going to allow me to hedge some of what's going on? Now, I don't want to do what unfortunately a lot of, you know, real estate and business gurus do, which is to make it seem like investing or business ownership is just too easy. And I think we are doing everyone a disservice if that's the impression that we are creating. And, you know, if I think back to some of the hustling that I had to do when I was starting out, when it was much easier to climb onto that first rung of the property ladder. I mean, I lived in Hochelaga, Maisonneuve, which is a really not very sexy part of Montreal, for 10 years. And I also had roommates until my mid-40s. So I actually just, you know, it's been 4 or 5 years that really only my family lives in my home. Even after buying my single family home, we did Airbnb in the basement for a while. I also had a roommate. So, you know, thinking about like the various different sacrifices that you're willing to make, and that, you know, people who end up having businesses or who have investments, it's not true that that is a quiet float down the river where you're not going to have to make any sacrifices or break a sweat or deal with any stress. But my question to you is, what's the alternative? Because if you don't have a solution for the $10 butter, that's maybe going to be $15 or $20 in 3-4 years from now, and the house prices that keep on going up, if you don't have a solution for that, it's really your own future and your family's future that's going to be in the balance. And if we talk about what some of those sacrifices might look like, you know, on a personal level, I don't listen to music as much as I would like to. I listen to podcasts and read instead of spending time on Netflix. I'm currently writing a book, which allowed me to research some of the content that was delivered in these podcasts and other shows. And for that, I wake up at 5:30 or 6 every morning, get my workout in, and then sit down at my computer writing and researching. But so my question to you at this point is, what are you willing to do to live your dream life? What are you willing to do to deal with the affordability crisis? Because I think this is where, you know, a lot of people, like the people that we heard from in the video, while it is very sad to listen to the consequences of some of what's going on, and the reality is that it is more difficult for, you know, people who are wage workers and whose salaries are not adjusting upwards, it is increasingly difficult, and there is an affordability crisis going on. But my question to you is, what are you willing to do to put yourself in a position that's not going to be the people who are talking on this video? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to do the getting up early? Are you willing to do the learning and the hard work that's necessary to save and to begin to understand whether it's that you're going to be trying to start a business and to learn how to generate value? Because I think this is one of the other things that maybe we could do a better job of understanding, is that when you go to work and sell your time for money, because as a wage worker, that's basically what you're doing. You're selling your time to an employer for money. And then it is the employer who is using your time to generate value. And yes, you're receiving a small portion of that as a salary, but ultimately it's the employer or the company who is the one who created that engine, that flywheel that is creating value. And so I think this is, like, you know, one of those places where, you know, often we don't necessarily think about how this really works when we're demanding that our politicians, you know, cut taxes and build more homes and do all of these kind of things, is to really look, turn the whole thing back and look at ourselves and say, well, what am I doing to purchase investments or to learn how to generate value in a way that I'm going to get paid for? And I'm not going to just get paid as a salaried worker who is doing work for a company. I'm going to actually go out into the marketplace and begin to generate that value for people who are willing to pay a fair price for that product or service. Because ultimately, the more things go, salaried employment is kind of not paying a fair price vis-a-vis what it costs to live. It might be paying a market price because the job market dictates that whatever wage you're making is the wage that a person who does that kind of job is making. But that's not really where the value is in terms of being able to adjust for what is happening with the cost of living. And, you know, if I want to, like, leave you with a thought here, is that when I was younger, it was a choice to go into business or to buy investments. It was something that, you know, the really motivated or the really crazy ended up doing. But today, this is really an existential issue that's before you, because as the price of everything keeps going up, and I don't see that this process is really going to stop, like housing is not going to get any cheaper, and the governments with aging populations and the rising cost of all of the social programs that we have are not going to magically start cutting taxes tomorrow. And it's not like because immigration decreases this year that all of a sudden house prices are going to drop by $200,000. Like, that's just not the way it's going to work. So, you know, this is really an existential issue to begin to understand what you are going to do, to make a plan about what you are going to do to protect yourself from this rising cost of living by either figuring out what kind of business or side hustle you're going to do, what kind of product or service you're going to bring to market, or what kind of, you know, initiatives you're going to invest in, whether it's a friend who wants to start a business or whether it's buying some kind of equity, some stock, or some real estate investing. That's obviously something that I know a lot more about rather than being able to explain to you exactly what stocks to pick. I wouldn't trust my advice on that. But I do want to say that I believe that if you are willing to make the sacrifices and do the learning and have that mental shift into really understanding that it's essential to think about how it is that you're paid for stuff, if you're willing to sacrifice and you're willing to delay gratification and stop making excuses and really learn how to create value. Because that's ultimately what entrepreneurship or being in business is really about, is learning how to create value in a marketplace that people are willing to pay you for. And that, by definition, is going to continue adjusting with the rising cost of living, because that marketplace is going to pay you whatever that good or service is worth. So, real estate fan, I hope that this call to arms, this call to action, really is going to motivate you to go away and think about what you can do proactively to protect yourself from the rising cost of living, and to examine the fact that if you're hoping either that the politicians are going to save you or that a paycheck is really the way to claw yourself out of this and to begin to try to get ahead with the conditions, the headwinds that we're facing in Canada currently, I would really challenge you to think that through a little bit and to behave towards getting into business or starting investing as something that's existential, because that's really the protection that you're going to have going forward against the affordability crisis and the rising cost of living. I do also want to say that if you're in the Montreal area in any possible way, we are having an Equity Builders Club event on August 19th that I would love to see you out at. And I will be more than happy to continue this conversation in person and to talk about how you can develop and hedge yourself against the upcoming rising cost of living crisis.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.